Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Be More. This time you are joining us for a session that's not traditionally on the regular career path for Salesforce professionals, but still a profession that is really important to us as a community. And we are talking a little bit today about Be More Instructor. And I'm delighted to be joined today by Andrew Cook, who's actually joining us from Spain. He's made some time on his holiday for today's session. So, Andrew, without further ado, are you able to start by introducing yourself for us?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me, Tom. So as Tom said, my name's Andrew Cook, and I'm the Salesforce Technical Instructor at Salesforce Bend. So I've been in the ecosystem for, I think it's just over 12 years. I'm 13 times certified. I've recently joined the Salesforce credentialing team as well, which is quite cool. Lightning chap being alumni, and I'm both a trailblazer mentor, soon to be a supermum's mentor. That starts for me next month.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your role at Salesforce Bend and how that works, kind of a day in the life of an instructor, really.
So for me, I think Salesforce Bend as a company is quite unique. So I think that a lot of what I do will be, I don't think there'll be many roles like mine. So there's a few different parts to my role. So predominantly I'm part of the Salesforce Bend courses team. So part of my role is to work on creating courses and exam packs for people that want or need to upskill. The most recent one I've done on that is a ChatGPT one, which was really interesting from my point of view to work on that. We've also got the blog. So a lot of the more technical blog posts, I will either write or I will be the main reviewer of the post. So if anyone was to submit to us a more technical kind of like developer or any sort of article like that, I'll be reviewing it just to make sure that it does what it says it does, kind of. That can be quite interesting, especially if it's like a walkthrough, like a step-by-step, this is how you do it, because I'll literally do exactly what they're kind of saying just to make sure that it works how they say. Then we've also got the Salesforce Bend YouTube channel. I do quite a lot of recordings for that now. And then there's also some more ad hoc things that come in, like sponsored posts that we have, then also hosting webinars and LinkedIn Lives.
Perfect. So is it fair to say you're kind of more on the technical side in terms of code, not clicks, or would you say you're kind of balanced in all arenas?
I would never say that I'm more code. I mean, we worked on the recent post that you did on failing exams, and I said in there that I actually lost count of how many times I failed that one.
That was PD1.
Do you know what? I was thinking about it last week. I did the exam remotely at home, and I had my dog sitting next to me, and like the yell of joy that I let out when it said passed on the screen, and I scared the hell out of the dog. He jumped for his life. Like, I'm getting better at, I can understand code. That's one thing I would say. I can see a piece of Apex and understand what it does.
Yeah.
And if someone was to ask me, can you write some code that will do this? I would say absolutely not. Although now I'd probably say, yeah, absolutely. Then go on to ChatGPT or Bard and, yeah, and get a head start that way.
Okay, awesome. And I guess I'm similar position myself, really. Like, I can read, troubleshoot code, kind of figure out why it's not working. Sometimes have to come back to it with like a fresh head or a clean head to just actually like get my head around it. But in similar position, I guess, with you. Bit of a tricky question, I think, to answer for your role, but how do you see your role interacting with other roles? So do you often kind of work with other people within the Salesforce Bend team or particular roles to kind of get your content together and, I guess, quality check, sense check what you're doing?
Yeah, so there's probably two aspects of that. So I've got internally and externally. Mm-hmm. So internally, I'm part of the courses team. So I work with Christine and Marielle, and we work on courses as part of a team. So that works in a traditional sense of how any team works in any organization. Then there will be, if I'm working on any content, I'll then need to liaise with our content team, making sure that deadlines are being met and the content is up to scratch. really. Then there is also, if there's any videos, need to work with the video team, kind of getting scripts together, making sure that the film's up to scratch, and putting the notes together, which is quite interesting in kind of layering the different scenes and how you envision them to look. That's something that I'd never experienced before, but I actually quite enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess requires a little bit of a creative mindset, right?
And yeah.
Okay, and in terms of the actual content producing itself, do you have somebody there that's usually filming you, or do you usually do it kind of independently, remotely? How does that work?
So it really depends on the content and the time frame. The best example is the Dawson's releases. There's the releases three times a year. Last week, the Winter 24 release was announced. The release notes came out on Wednesday. So I had a day with the release notes to write the article on the top 10 developer features. Then I had a day to convert that into a script and then film that. So I've converted my shed a little bit into kind of like a filming, or an area that I can film in.
Right.
So if it's something like that, I'll film it in the shed. It normally works okay, but if there's more important videos that are going out, we'll normally do them at an offsite. We have the proper camera set up, the lighting,
and you get mic'd
the whole video team. Getting mic'd up, getting notes as you're presenting. That's always interesting. I've always got Christine in the background telling me to smile.
But you're doing it now.
That's one thing that I always find it weird though, because I know that I can't force it. Like if it's not natural, and also it's difficult to smile as you're talking about a new Apex function. Like it's not really something you can just smile about on a whim.
Maybe easier to smile about flow.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I guess you relate to it more, right? As you said, like you understand the code parts, but perhaps more confident in flow. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, definitely. I'm more of a visual person, so anything that's more visual, I'll be better with that. So flow is the best example. So I know that I'll be able to do things exactly the same how they would have been done in code, but in a flow, I just find it so much easier.
If there was somebody, and I appreciate that the market for this type of role is kind of limited by its nature, but if there was somebody that was looking out to kind of start in an instructor type role, what tip advice would you give to them? Like, do you think it's important for them to kind of know the content and be passionate about the content, for example, or anything else like with presenting and public speaking skills, that type of thing?
I think you definitely need to be passionate about Salesforce in general. I don't think you'll be able to get your message across to people if you're not. Public speaking skills are always good. That's something that especially this year, I've got to get better at quite a lot. I've spoken at a few different events, which has been nice. Another thing as well is to be open to roles that you probably didn't expect. I never saw myself going into a role like this, but I also never knew a role like this existed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To be honest, I always saw myself going down the architect route.
Yeah.
That's where I always saw myself going. And then I remember this job came up on LinkedIn. Lucy posted it. I was literally reading through the job spec. You know, when you kind of, on a normal job spec, you'll tick off maybe two thirds. For this, it was literally everything was ticking off. And I thought, this is really weird. And then I remember as well, part of the interview, Lucy and Christine, they asked me, "What is there a reason you've not gone into a role like this previously?" I said to them, "Look, honestly, I didn't know this was a role."
Yeah.
I think that's definitely one good thing about the ecosystem, is that there's always new roles like this one that will be popping up. I know as well that I think roles like mine will be more common going forward, because there's obviously, I know, more companies like Salesforce popping up. So with that, in turn, there'll be similar roles like mine coming up.
If you were to start out again in this role fresh, and I appreciate the role's relatively new, right? How many months has it been?
So next month it would have been a year. Yeah.
So I guess
that's flown by.
Yeah. It always does, especially when you're having fun, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So throughout that year, you've probably learned lots of different things, and we've touched on some of them already. But is there anything that you would do differently, perhaps embrace things with like a different mindset or just way of doing things?
Yeah, one thing that I would definitely do, if I could start again, I would work on my concentration skills, which sounds like a little bit of a weird thing to say. But I mean, in all of my roles previously, I've been an admin. Usually as an admin, you're just bouncing between different tasks anyway. I didn't realize it at the time. I just thought I was good at being an admin. And now there'll be times where I need to kind of, like, if I'm working on an article, I need to sit down and focus on this article for 2-3 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something, in the beginning, it's something that I really struggled with, because I'm just not used to focusing for that amount of time on a single thing. But to go from that to this article needs to be done by 4 o'clock,
yeah,
and having to work on that solely, that's one thing that I've found really challenging. I'm sure there's some sort of meditation techniques or there'll be something out there that you can do to improve it. So yeah, I'd definitely go back and do that.
Yeah, and I guess I can relate to that a little bit as an expert author for Salesforce Spend too. Personally, how I manage it is I kind of set myself like little targets and split the articles up into different chunks. So I say, oh, I'm going to do this section or that section and things like that. And I guess for me, it's different. I guess I'm not under as strict timelines as you are, maybe. But yeah, I definitely kind of dip in and out, because for me, I totally get like writing a piece of content, whether it's a blog or a training course or a video or something like that. Whatever content it is, I kind of feel the same thing applies. Whereas if you were doing it all in one go, it would be quite full on and almost a little bit overwhelming. Yeah. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, that's definitely fair. You've just reminded me of something that happened to me at TDX this year when we went and we was filming something. So it's on our TikTok channel.
Right.
So this is actually a good message about making sure your equipment works properly. So we was, I think it was just a day two recap, maybe.
Yeah.
But, so me and Sasha were somewhere in the venue. We said, right, we need to film this. You need to say this. Did all the filming, got to the end, all fine, played it back. There's no audio. The microphone had died. So I had to go back to the hotel to refilm it. And it literally took me an hour and a half to get it right. The jet lag, like everything had kicked in, the jet lag, the tiredness. And one of the comments on the video was, who kidnapped you? Because it literally looked like I'd been kidnapped. And
that's, and I'm glad you touched on that, because there is like this kind of, I don't know if it's a persona or a character or something, but I've certainly learned over time, like when I'm producing content, somebody says, oh, we're about to start filming, like my whole demeanor changes. Like I'm suddenly like very smiley and happy. And I mean,
not
smiling happy anyway, but it's just that kind of pressure. Well, not pressure, but that's how you do it. And that's how you make your videos engaging. And I guess flip side, if you're under pressure and you have to do something and you've got a deadline on it, or you're frustrated because you tried to do it and it didn't work the first time, and now you're rushing to get it done, I would imagine, it would have the opposite effect.
The whole thing, just even filming it in a hotel room is not ideal.
No.
Not ideal at all. Before, we was in the middle of the exhibition filming it. Like, we just went off to one side.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've still got all the energy around you, of all the people there. And then to go from that to being on your own in your hotel room trying to recreate those feelings to get the energy on film is just not easy. And I will say, though, is that Christine is a pro at it. Like, I didn't realize how good she was until the day before TDX started. We'd literally just gone to pick our passes up. Sasha said to her, do you want to do like a quick we're here kind of intro video? And she said, yeah, sure. And Sasha said, right, you need to say this, like 6 things.
Yeah.
And then she did it perfectly first time, and I just thought, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that you to be that good.
Yeah. Well, it shows what you can kind of aspire to, you know, if you're a seasoned presenter like she is, you could just literally
put it out the bag
and
one thing I would say is I have got better at it. Like, I know if you like, if you, on our YouTube channel, if you look at some of the first videos I recorded to the most recent ones, there's a massive difference, which that's something I'm quite happy about, that I've improved with it.
Yeah, well, we're all learning, right? So we start somewhere, and a similar experience with my YouTube channel. I kind of look back at the early videos and almost cringe a little bit. Like, how did I let that go?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Looking at yourself back isn't like the greatest experience anyway, but looking at yourself back and think, how did I leave somebody's email address in the video or like whatever it is? I'm kind of like, yeah. So you definitely learn from it. And I think that's some great kind of solid advice there. Kind of reflecting a little bit, and we've touched on this already, but what skills or attributes do you think it takes to be a Salesforce instructor? What do you think about that?
I know we touched on having a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely needed. One thing that I think that you really need as well is the ability to explain complex things in simple terms.
Yep.
I think that's really important. And that's one thing. So before I started with Salesforce, I was working in retail for O2 as a technical in-store person. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that we was trained on straight away, was because we knew that we would, because it was still the age of like BlackBerries and the more complicated mobiles compared to now.
Yeah.
And O2 knew that we'd get people in that are just not technical minded, coming in with a BlackBerry and you needing to set that up.
Yeah.
But also being able to explain to them. So because of that, we had some really good training in being able to explain things in simple terms that anyone could understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize, but that's something that stayed with me throughout. And in this role, especially, it's been so useful. Just knowing that, okay, this is quite technical. How can I simplify this so that anyone can understand it?
That's a great skill to have across other roles as well, like as an architect.
Yeah, definitely.
I just need to get the customer on board, and they're not going to understand the order of execution or whatever it is if I try to explain
something
like that. So I kind of have to like use metaphors and kind of break it down a little bit, and certainly relate to like the whole thing about working in the mobile phone industry. Like, my first job was for a phone provider called Orange in the UK. I would have loved training like that. I never had training like that. I just had training on how to sell rather than how to support and like translate the technical. And especially, I can imagine with the BlackBerries, that was hard because they were always more complicated. Yeah. And I think there's definitely transferable things into like how that can apply to Salesforce as well. Like, as an admin, I don't know, maybe someone's not receiving emails or they want to set up the Salesforce app. That type of stuff can definitely translate, I think. So it's good that you have that kind of background. If you were to change or make people more aware about something in your role, or perhaps debunk a myth, what comes to mind there? Is there anything that you'd like to kind of clarify?
I think the main thing would be that roles like mine do exist, because it's not a common role. There's not many in the ecosystem, but as we touched on before, I'm sure there'll be more coming in the future. That's one thing that I would say. But also that it probably looks a lot easier than what it is. Actually, that probably translates more to Ben as well. Salesforce Ben. I know that a lot of people look at Ben and think, I can do that, I can do what Ben does. The amount of work that Ben puts into his business is ridiculous. And I don't think a lot of people appreciate that. There's a reason that Ben's been going for nearly, next year will be 10 years. That was a complete tangent on the question. But so in terms of my role, it probably looks quite easy, but there'll be a lot of things that I don't know. I'll be asked, can you write an article on this? I didn't even know this existed. Then you have to go and research to be an expert in it, write an article and simplify it for someone else.
I certainly relate to that point as well. There have been some articles that I've kind of been asked to write and I knew a little bit, but I didn't realize kind of how much of it I didn't know until I actually did the article. And the thing about Salesforce Spend that kind of brings me to it, it's thoroughly reviewed before it goes live. Like, you don't want and you don't let content go out that's inaccurate or missing key information, and it's regularly updated, like as and when Salesforce change things as well, which does happen. So that's really important. And again, maybe I have a little bit more flexibility than you, but there have been some things that I've been asked to write about, and I kind of said, actually, that's more of a developer thing, or, you know, kind of doesn't really fit my skill set as much. So yeah, I think it's important to be able to kind of connect with what you're writing. You know enough about it. You're able to kind of research and fill in the gaps as well. And I think that's important too. And then obviously at the end of that process, somebody comes along and verifies it. I know, for example, you've come along and verified some of my articles. So it's appreciated on that. But yeah, because that authenticity, like trusting, is really important to you guys. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of our key things. We always try to maintain our point of view. We always try to make sure that our voice is seen to be coming through in our articles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same with, like, when we're editing or reviewing someone else's. I don't know if you might have had it in the beginning. I remember when I was a guest author, I wrote something, and Lucy, actually, I think she quite critical on it. And it not from a technical point of view, it was just, can you show more personality in your writing? I think that's something that's quite unique. It's like, it's not just all of the technical stuff. You still want to show the person's personality.
I've learned quite a lot from some of my earlier posts being edited. Yeah, I've had a few kind of critical, like, reviews, possibly from Lucy as well. But ultimately, I write better now because of it. At the time, yes, it's painful. I kind of felt a little bit under attack.
Yeah.
It's me. But I now definitely write a lot better as a result of it. And now when my articles kind of go through review, I don't have as much feedback to action because I'm kind of writing in the way that I inject a little bit of Tom into what I'm saying. And sometimes I inject a little bit too much Tom and it gets taken back a bit. But that's fine. Like, I get there's a line. So I think that's great advice because, like, I relate to that as well. So I'm afraid we're kind of having to bring the session for today to a close. But before we do close out, how can people connect with you and your...
So obviously Salesforce Ben. Most of, if not everything that I've done is on there, either the main site or the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then in terms of connecting, there's obviously LinkedIn's probably the main one. There's also Twitter or X, whatever people want to call it.
Mm-hmm. And can people kind of find you out and about at Salesforce events, talking and making some more content as well?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So the next one, which I'm really excited about, it will be Dreamforce. They will be my first Dreamforce.
Awesome.
So, 12 years in the ecosystem and I'm finally going. I'm really looking forward to that. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's 8 of us going from Salesforce Ben. So there'll be quite a few of us out there. We're hosting a couple of parties as well, so I'm sure everyone will get the chance to see us at some point.
Yeah, it's another after party GPT, isn't it?
It is.
I went to the last one and had the sore head the following morning as a result. Yeah, so I'm expecting the same again.
I didn't know what to expect with the first one, I'll admit, but now I've experienced one of them. I think that the next one will be bigger.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks again for your time, and I'll leave you to go on and enjoy the beach, maybe.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments.